Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how to market and sell snow-covered land. This has been a long-standing kind of inside joke between Jill and I for a lot of years.
I'm happy to paint the picture.
Yeah, I would, you know, tease us a little bit on the picture, then we'll take the question and we'll tell you what's really going on.
All right. So here's what happens. What happened? I'm from, should I do it now or save it? I have a couple minutes of things.
Jill's
to
from
save.
California. I'm from a very snow-covered area. A lot of you who are listening to this
know that.
Don't see the appeal to snow. There's nothing magical or mystical about it. In fact, it's just a huge dent in your whole day for about 6 or 8 months back east.
Okay, so that's your story. Tell me, then I'll tell you mine.
Jill sees it like out of a Christmas special.
I'm going to tell you, I thought it was cool. I grew up in sunny Southern California. Not this close to the water, obviously, but in a great community. And the first time I saw snow fall, I was like in middle school or high school. And I thought it was the coolest thing. So I grew up here, you know, near the ocean, looking at these snow-capped, beautiful mountains. And every time I go up to the snow for the weekend, it's beautiful, it's fun, it's sunny and gorgeous and fresh, and the air smells so great. So I think it's cool. So that's my experience.
So you can see the innate conflict here about snow-covered land. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Jenna asks, I have a contract on a lot that has a mobile home on it, buying the lot only, not the mobile home. The owner said it's not in a livable condition and no one lives there. My photographer said there's definitely someone living there and it looks like a meth house. He's going to send me a picture. If he can, it's worth about $9,000, but not with the mobile home removal / eviction. Obviously, I'm not going to agree to buy it for the $3,800 I offered, but what would you offer to make it worth it? I was thinking $500, self-close, sell for $1,500, and the tenants and the mobile home would be the new owner's problem. Yikes. Or should I even waste my time like no one would buy it?
What would you do?
Okay, so we've got first of all, I wouldn't do the idea of kind of brushing it under the rug and pushing the problem onto the buyer, because that never works. You don't want to do that. Because all they're going to do is find out what's going on, call you, and they're asking for a refund or something. You don't like my idea?
I know we're going to differ on this, and I think it's funny.
Oh, okay.
and I'm not being like satirical.
Okay. All right.
And I have to say, before you finish what you would do, I would veto. Every once in a while when Jill and I disagree on whether we should buy a property, one of us says veto, and right. The other one just stops and walks away, and they get their way. This is a veto thing for me. Go ahead.
I would try to solve it. I would either solve it or move on.
I would buy this property.
Oh.
Period. Veto.
That's why. So you buy it and brush it under the rug?
Just go ahead. I want to hear what you say first.
I have a lot of questions.
I'll never brush anything under the rug. Right. But all of these problems that she sees are attributes.
Well, that's my thing. I would try to fix it. Well, and first of all, just because your photographer thinks it's a meth house doesn't mean there. It could be a very nice family. Who knows? They don't have a lot. They don't have a lot of money. They're making their best. You know, maybe it's a distant relative of the person. You got to get to the bottom of this a little bit, I think. But I do see it as an attribute.
Absolutely disagree with that point also.
We know it's livable, by the way. All right. You don't like my idea. You go with your idea. Go.
Number one, there's so much drama these days about buying real estate.
Okay.
Within this group. I don't know what. Something changed recently. Maybe it's just how open our group is and how much access we have because of land investors. Or maybe it's the advent of House Academy, but there's a lot of, I've got this situation, man, and this thing's going on over here, and there's got this thing over here, and I'm not picking on this person at all. This is just happens to be the question today. Back in the day, and probably even last week, I would have found out that there's a mobile home on the property. I would have jumped up and down, probably celebrated, and said something like, wow, so all the utilities are figured out. then I would have sent the photographer out there. That photographer would have confirmed to me, oh yeah, there's somebody living there for sure. I think they're squatting, but they are. I got a lot of pictures. That confirms to me, I don't know, maybe the sanitation's working. They figured out electricity or some version of it. So those are all positive things.
True.
And then I would have said, excellent. I would have called the tenant, the owner, and said, you got a deal. Thanks for all the information. And maybe I would have renegotiated the price a little bit, maybe not, but probably not, because I don't remember the exact numbers on this, but they sounded great. I don't know what state it is, but $5,000, I think, for the whole thing. I don't want to scroll back up. If it's $5,000 with a livable mobile home, in very few places, that's not going to work. That's a smoking deal. You're going to be able to sell it for $15 in any condition. Here's what happened and how it went sideways, in my opinion.
Okay.
The photographer, and Jill's famous for saying this. Jill's, this is in the original education. Because the number one question that we get at a cocktail party about the business that we're in after we describe it is, who the hell would want to do that? Who the hell would want to live out there? Do you know there's a meth trailer out there? And all I see is opportunity. And all this new person sees, and again, I'm not picking on her at all, is sees a problem. She says something she's got to do. She's got to fix it. So it's just all how you see this stuff.
I agree. No, what? I agree. I do. No, when you put it like that, I do. I forgot about the whole utilities and things. But I guess I think I would have got to that point in the end anyway. That's my do your homework and figure it out.
Yeah.
Don't dismiss it right away. And don't brush it under the rug. There's some good stuff there.
There's people in rural markets, guys, middle-aged guys usually, that specialize. Oh, they love this kind of stuff. Are you kidding? If I buy a property for $3,000 to $5,000, I sell it to them for $15,000. It's got a what he would call an unpaying tenant in it, regardless of their meth blood alcohol content. It's a livable sort of, maybe a livable structure on it. So he's got to spend some time and energy, maybe remove that tenant or get the tenant just to pay. They love that stuff. Sometimes they're like retired cops and stuff. They live to make money like that and then rent it forever. So these are all real positive things, but I can see how somebody, and then maybe it was me at some point, would see this real negative. Mm-hmm. So I think you got a real good situation on your hands, and hopefully this airs before, you know, you kill the deal or anything. If you don't want to do the deal, call me. I'll do this deal. I love these kind of deals.
Definitely. Call his directly. I'll give you a sell later.
I would close that fast. And I wouldn't do a self-close on it, by the way. I would go close with title. Because you know you're going to... It's because the person who buys it is either going to, you know, make use of what's there. Mm-hmm. The value in this property is not the land. The value is the fact that there's already a mobile home there. And you can either scrape it and put a new one or make do with what's there somehow.
Right.
Does that all make sense? Mm-hmm. Am I going a little nutty here on this?
Okay. You're good.
I get excited about that. Today's topic, how to market and sell snow-covered land. This is the meat of the show.
So here's the backstory. So I told you my experience, snow is dreamy. So we get this piece of property, and I'm looking for pictures. And I come across some pictures I'm rolling into the inventory, the picture of the area, that are snow covered, and I think it did have blue sky, I will say this, but there's definitely snow on the ground. It shows the gate going in, it's got a gated community. It's just, I think it's dreamy and beautiful. So this is way back in the day. I'm making this posting, I'm putting these pictures in there, and Stephen comes along and says, what are you doing? And I'm like, isn't this gorgeous? Look at the snow on the ground and the blue sky, and that's the thing. And he's like, oh no, that's not going to sell. Please explain.
This is a classic marital chuckle about it for months, if not years.
Years.
Marital thing that, you know, especially with two people that come from different backgrounds. And so I grew up in Michigan where snow is just, when it, aside for that first day that it snows and everybody gets a little bit excited about it, it just becomes this massive nuisance. And everybody's, you know, if you live east of the Mississippi or in the mountains at all, anywhere, or even Pacific Northwest, you know, the weather is a massive nuisance. This is the only place that I've ever lived, right here in California, that Southern California, that the weather isn't a problem. And so especially back east, you don't want to buy anything snow covered. You don't want to think about snow. You want something that's like dry. First of all, snow's wet. You want something dry and comfortable and easy to get to. And when there's a lot of snow on the ground in a lot of places in this country, then that property, you just can't get to it. And so snow sends to me the wrong message. And I don't think I'm in the minority. And so, when you're in a relationship with somebody, the stuff that if someone else, a regular person did, you just want to kill them. It's annoying as hell. It's just cute with the person that you're in a relationship with. So the snow thing has just been a longstanding joke between Jill and I.
Thank you. So what do you do? So here's the whole thing. How do we market this? I bought it. It's the middle of the winter. It's snow covered. First of all, the people who are buying this property when you're trying to market it, I mean, they know. You don't need to talk about the weather or the conditions, things like that. They know where the property is, and they're looking in that area, by the way. I would do my best to get photos taken on the best possible day that you can, because you want to get it on the market quickly as possible. And if there's snow on there, I would try to time it when there's a melty period. Does that happen?
A melty period?
Yes. Based on your experience.
There's the line between marketing and lying. It's a pretty big line, big fat black line. And, everybody knows it snows in Michigan. Yeah. And I think in this case, it was in the northern part of New Mexico. If you already mentioned that, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows that there's fantastic, beautiful days, too. Right. So I don't think shooting a property on a fantastic, beautiful day is by any stretch lying. It's just, it's a good day.
Right.
But I don't think, by saying it never snows, that's a bad thing. So Everybody knows that you're buying snow property.
Right.
It shouldn't really seasonally affect the price too much.
Right.
My general opinion is, and I don't think there's any, this is one of those topics where there's no good straight answer. I personally don't think you should, all of us have looked through the internet in June and seen pictures of property that's like got snow on it. And you're like, ugh, it takes all the wind out of my sails completely. Like, well, first of all, it's been on the market so long, or they don't care enough to get current pictures.
Right.
So, look, snow's bad. I don't know how you, I don't care how you slice it.
But here's what I want you to think about, and here's what I would do. Just because you acquire a property right now and it's in a great area, it's possible in the summer. I don't want you to not buy it because you can't market it.
Me too.
I still want you to get it out there. So buy the property. You might even get a better price for it, by the way, because the guy who has it doesn't see the value in it right now because it's covered in snow. This could help. And I don't want you to hang on to it and you just keep in your inventory and not put it for sale in the spring. So what I would say is do your best. This is the whole point of the show here. You got to market the snow-covered thing somehow. I don't want you to sit on it till, May.
That I agree with, by the way.
Thank you. Well, thank you.
Don't let the snow stop your acquisitions. Right. Just maybe shoot it on a different day.
That's it. Do your best and get the angle. You are famous at this one, Stephen. If you have to, use close to the ground, shooting up high, showing the horizon, less of the snow, and you're still being accurate, do things like that. Do the best that you can. And then when you have a good weather day, the snow is melting, get someone out there and then update your pictures if it's not already sold. And hopefully it has.
So if you've ever taken a photography class, it's a good time. That's a really good point. A good photography professor or a good course, they'll tell you this. Like when a camera's at your face, and we all put cameras up to our faces. That's just what we do. We always spend a lot of time looking down because we're walking or looking down and around or around ourselves. And that's never, in my opinion, never the best view of anything. Regardless of the situation that you're in, if you kind of look up, even if you're in a big city, you look up, it's like, wow, or especially like out in the woods or anywhere, you look up a little bit, there's mountain views. It's a lot more interesting, in my opinion, than looking down. So I'm famous for getting down on the ground and shooting up. And it's a lot more interesting.
Trees.
Try it sometime. Even try it like in your house or try it like in your yard. If you get down, even with your phone, get down and take a, I'm not saying shoot straight up in the air. I'm saying maybe 40 degree angle, 35 degree angle, and just, that perspective for real estate, even if there is snow on the ground, that's really my point here. I don't think it should seasonally change your acquisitions. I'm saying how you present the stuff on the internet can be improved.
Here's what I'm envisioning. Here's how I'm envisioning the prep going for those. I'm aimed up high And then I keep tilting. Oops, no, there's the shot, you know.
Or get a little snow on the bottom of it, but shoot okay. the stuff, the attributes that are the trees. You know, up.
Exactly.
I have a lot good. To say about this, but.
But yeah, and it's, well, the reason it's coming up is because it's coming up. People just got hit with snow. It just happened. There's a lot of the East Coast right now that's dealing with it. I'm sorry that you're having to yeah. deal with that. And it's funny because I right. know exactly what you're saying. I watched my cousin put something on Facebook the other day with her son. And, hey, it's the first snow day of the year. And she's from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
She's from Michigan, went to the Bay Area, and now is back in New York. So she's like, it's the first snow day. Her son's in kindergarten. It's kind of cute right now. And I know in about 90 days or less, maybe 30 days, it's not going to be so cute anymore.
So, it takes a lot less time than yeah. that. Well, the yeah. day that your car, their car door's frozen.
Yeah.
Then it goes down from there.
Yeah. Exactly. We know your time is valuable. Thanks for spending it with us today. Join us here every Tuesday and Thursday for the House Academy Show. We said that wrong. Excuse me. Join us here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the Land Academy Show. That's what I'm trying to say. You need us 5 days a week. Don't stress. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, you can find us on the House Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the House Academy Show is Tips from a Major City Zoning Planner by Mike Marshall. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. You're not alone at laughing at Jill and I trying to read the new
mumble
words on a teleprompter.
Through our new schedule. We clearly don't know our new schedule. But I do know this. Whatever it is, we're here 5 days a week. And we remain commercial free. So wherever you're watching and wherever you are listening, please subscribe and rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.